Teaching Learning Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. Hey, today I'm talking about six procedural systems you need to have in place in your class today. You know what I'm talking about. These are the types of processes that help you keep track of all the kids' stuff, from their papers that they turn in during class, the papers that they turn in because they were homework, the projects, the notebooks, even stuff like, you know, the kid was out for a couple of days and they need to know what to do. And if you don't have it in place, they interrupt you in the middle of class to say, hey, I was out. Don't know if you can tell me now what I need to do. That type of stuff. As well as you need to have a substitute folder. So today we're talking six procedural systems you got to have in place today.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
So it is late in the school year, and this was the year that you were going to get organized. You know what I'm talking about, hmm? Come on, don't you? I mean, this was going to be it. This, you made a New Year's resolution over and over again, and, you know, this was the year. No piles. No splitting the piles into smaller piles so that the large pile looked better. You get what I'm talking about, right? You know, you got one giant pile over here in the corner. You got to make it look better. So you kind of divide it up and you split it around so that it doesn't look like it's that bad. Just kind of spreading it out. You were going to return papers sooner. Your desktop would be visible. You would use Sunday to come into the school late in the afternoon and get caught up so that Monday morning, everything looked like you knew what you were doing. Okay, so the year's been moving on, and you have gotten really, really good at camouflaging the fact that you have hidden piles. Yep, you've done a good job of just spreading that wealth around, right? You have been fooling yourself. Come on, we both know that you have a desk drawer or a file cabinet someplace where you place all of the stuff that you don't know what to do with, or the things that you just haven't gotten around to. You have created piles for piles. Ultimately, it's caused you some issues because the papers from last week were just here a moment ago. Oh, yeah. Okay, I know they were right here. I know. Hang on a second. I know I can find these. Maybe they're over there by the fridge. Yeah, that's the ticket. They're over there by the fridge. No, I don't think so. Maybe they're over here by my grading book. That'd be a good place for them, right? You know, the point is that, you know, if you don't know where they are, if you can't put your hands on them, and that you've created multiple, you know, you just kind of stuck bunches of them in some book bag that you take home back and forth, or a big grocery bag, or, you know, whatever it is that functions as the way of you toting stuff back and forth between home and school so that you can do your work, you know, that's not really very good organization. Right? And it actually ultimately is going to cause you some heartache and some serious heartburn because something's going to get lost or something's not going to get done or something's going to be misplaced. Yeah, you're getting the picture, aren't you? You know, so do you keep meaning to actually create a place in the classroom? You know, that place where the kids place all of their papers that need to be graded, or that one place where they put their reading handouts, or that place where they turn in their classwork or their homework or, you know, or their projects. You know, how about when they return from being absent? Do you have a folder for them to go to find out what they missed, huh? Well, here is a good one. Do you have a place for a substitute teacher to always find lessons, seating charts, passwords, daily schedules, special instructions for research and lunch, instructions for getting access to the smart board, or, I don't know, just pretend there's a blank there and just go ahead and fill in that blank? Well, do you? Do you have that substitute folder place that you update and you constantly put new stuff in it? You know that there will be a day when you're going to be out, don't you? I mean, even the best at it, some days have to be out. And you need a system established that even if you forgot to tell someone that you had that subfolder, that some of the kids know what you do or where they should tell the sub to look because they know your routines and can point it out to the substitute. Yep, this was the year. Well, what happened? Oh, I know. Believe me, I know. I am a perpetual pile producer, so I feel for you. We pile producers have to get control of our piles. From one to another, it is time to get your act together. If you don't, your classroom management skills are going to suffer. Believe me, it's amazing what paperwork can do for you losing control of the kids in the classroom. Kids are going to discover that you have lost or misplaced. You know, have you heard this before? I know it's here somewhere. Just give me a minute. Some of their papers or notebooks or lab reports. You know, they're going to realize, he or she doesn't really know where my stuff is. Now, for some of them, that's not going to cause an issue because they're going to be glad you don't, because that means they don't get a bad grade. For others, they're going to be a little concerned about that because they spent a lot of time working on it and they turned it in when it was supposed to be turned in and now you don't know where it is. And so they're worried about their grade. And rightly so. Oh, it happens. Yes, it does. Oh, it happens. You know, one of the things that's going to happen here is one of those little darlings is going to realize that you don't know who turns what in and when. So let's go back in time. Okay, fine. Make fun of my time machine. Let's go back in time. I remember it well. The teacher did not have a way to collect notebooks that really accounted for each student in their notebook. You get it? Notebooks were required in her class for different reasons. I don't remember if this was a science or whatever type of teacher it was. But the point is that the teacher collected notebooks, and there was all this stuff that was required to be in them. And when she collected them, she really didn't know if you gave her your notebook. Oh, I remember this well. The parent was angry, was very angry because the teacher insisted that the student did not turn in the notebook. She gave the student a zero. The notebook was worth some ridiculous number of points or percentage. And by the way, that's a discussion for another day. So the kid's grade dropped significantly. When I met with a teacher and asked her to show me how the students turned in the notebooks, she showed me a box. A box that was in the back of the room, not even near her desk. They were to put the notebooks in the box on a Friday afternoon. So what went through my mind is, surely you stand at the box and they hand it to you. And then you mark off on your chart or grade sheet, right? Her answer was, no. Well, maybe you have them hand the notebooks to you individually as you walk around the room, and then you mark off your chart and you put them in the box, right? No. So let me get this straight. You have no way of knowing if the child turned in the notebook or not. And the teacher responded, well, yeah, but she didn't. Really? How do you know? By the way, in the end, it turns out that another little darling took the first kid's notebook out of the box, removed some of the papers, placed his name on others, and put his name on the front cover. The pilferer was caught when the teacher was grading said notebooks, and she noticed an issue with the cover of one of the notebooks. You see, the young man had used a Sharpie to cross out the girl's name, and it was fairly obvious. Apology delivered. Never would have had to have gone through this if she had had a system. So let's come back to now. Okay. Boink. We're back here. Fine. I know. I'll work on the sound effects. So let's talk about your classroom. When you have heard others talk about having procedures and routines in place, organization is part of that process. Let's look at these two words, because often they are used interchangeably when in fact they should not be. The two words are procedures and routines. Procedures are how you do things, and they become routines. Your procedures become routines when you do them over and over again, especially when you practice them with the kids so that the kids don't need to ask you how or what they just need to, you know, or what to do. They just do it because they already know how to do it. So here are six organizational procedures that you need to have in place today. If you think you have these in place, ask your class to explain on a piece of paper. No reprisals. You're just trying to find out whether they know what they're expected to know. Have them write how they are expected to do these things, and you will find out if they know it or not. And I got to tell you something. If they don't know it, and most of them don't know it, you know, if one of them doesn't know it and the rest do, that's different. But if most of them don't know how to do these things, then that means that you're just fooling yourself and you really don't have these procedures in place. So, let's be truthful. Ask yourself before you go through this and ask the kids, do you have these procedures in place and are they routine? So, here's my list. Six organizational procedures that you got to have in place now and every day. Number one, collecting work. Number two, handing work back. Number three, welcome back to class. In other words, the kid's been absent. Number four, accounting for all notebooks, netbooks, laptops, or tablets, Chromebooks, and things like that. Lions and tigers and bears. Aha! Hoo-hoo-hee. Anyway, keeping track of class supplies. And number six, the substitute folder. Once again, my six organizational procedures. Now, these are different than other types of procedures that you might have in place. These are the things that help you run the class, help you do those things that are going to help you, you know where stuff is and be able to get it taken care of and back in the hands of the kids as soon as possible. Number one is collecting work. Number two is handing work back. Number three is welcome back to class. In other words, the kid has been absent. Do you have a folder some sort of a tub or some sort of little box or someplace they go to where inside is the magic folder or the information that tells them what they missed the day before and the day before that and the day before that? Number four, accounting for all netbooks or laptops or tablets. You got to do that because otherwise somebody's going to end up with a nice piece of technology at their home. Number five, and by the way, you're going to end up somebody asking you, how in the world did you misplace the tablet? Really? Number five, keeping track of class supplies. You know, those are all kinds of things from glue sticks to markers to pens, pencils, erasers, all kinds of stuff that you have. You know, there's tubs and stuff like this you can buy to put them in, especially ones with little handles on them. Cool stuff, man. And then number six, the substitute folder. So think about it. Do you have these in place? I mean, it's easy to tell because if the way you collect work is simply by the kids putting it into your hand or simply by them putting it in a pile on your desk, that's not a good system because that system allows for, somebody to not necessarily turn something in and you not to know what, you know, and you don't know whether they turned it in or not. You got to come up with a better system then. So collecting work, handing work back, welcome back to class. You know, that absent folder, what do? I've been absent. You know, the kid just goes to the folder. Accounting for all netbooks, laptops, or tablets. Keeping track of class supplies. And the number six organizational procedure you've got to have in place is the substitute folder. And you got to update it because it shouldn't have stuff in it from 3 years ago. You update it all the time. That way, in case some emergency happens in your life, it's up to date. I will provide links in my show notes to some teachers to some teacher blogs and websites where they show all of the wonderful ways that they use folders, baskets, and containers of various size to help them stay organized with the kids' stuff. By the way, you know that you've always wanted to buy this stuff. It's cool. It's fun. You know, typically, they're brightly colored. It's always neat to buy these types of things. And now you'll step into that realm of that teacher down the hallway who, and that's who you ask, by the way, for help, that teacher down the hallway who you know is so very, very organized with this. Ultimately, you will thank yourself for putting these systems in place. You may trust your memory. Really? But I would shy away from that and just get better organized. Typically, once these procedures are in place, your kids will be happier. They will know what you want them to do. Stuff won't get lost. And little darlings, you notice that little darlings, there's no G in that word, will not have the opportunity to abscond with another's blood, sweat, and tears, or just their work. Take a close look at your classes, start getting organized, and use a Monday after a holiday or regular weekend to introduce the kids to the new 6 ways you operate your class. Believe it or not, the kids will thank you, and you will definitely thank you. Time to get organized.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? That's right. You can now find Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 on Google Play Music. Check us out.